Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Line drive, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial around first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Try Brower. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome, Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano here till 12 o'clock. Lucas is our broadcast engineer. Brian is our executive producer. We are going to be joined by John Mozeliak live in Jupiter at about 10:30. Martin will be here at 11. Dr. Rick in that 11 o'clock hour. Brian, before we get going, I asked you to print this out. It's Baseball Prospectus, the Pecota rankings, and it's very interesting because, Brian, as you looked at it, who is picked to finish last in the National League Central?
And that's been kind of an ongoing thing. The Cubs.
How about
below
that?
Below 500.
79 and 83.
With the tied for the third worst record in the National League, only the Giants and the have ceased to try Marlins are behind them.
They got a lot of really good players to be considered a last-place team.
Which, interestingly enough, Vegas is the exact opposite. The Cubs had the second-best odds to make the postseason, according to Las Vegas. Cardinals are tied with them, but...
And explain Pecota in a layman's terms as possible.
Well, they have their own algorithm. They project stats, and then they put it into their own little system, and stats come out. They have a projected standings based on advanced metrics. A lot of it stems from at least the Cubs' standpoint. I believe Pecota has a heavy accent on framing as catchers, trying to steal strikes. And I know Pecota doesn't view Wilson Contreras to be a very good catcher, and that's the reason why they have them finishing in last place. I know the Cubs have Madden especially has used this as a motivation tactic. I will say Pecota has been wrong before. In 2015, they had the Royals with the worst or among the worst records in the American League, and they then responded by winning the World Series.
At your convenience sometime today, I would love to get what Pecota had for the National League Central last year before the season and then how that worked out. Our opening monologue is brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park, and we appreciate them being a great sponsor. And let's begin with lap one. Can bring up that music just a tad. Viva la Blue, to use the words of the great John Hadley. It could have been an 0 for Tuesday night once again in St. Louis with SLU and Mizzou already losing. No, Tyler Bozak had other ideas for the note.
To Petrangelo, back to Tarasenko, to Bozak, wide open, he scores!
It was fun. Obviously, playing those guys is always a tough game. They're a great team. You know, we knew they were on a back-to-back, so we wanted to get on them and get pucks deep and kind of wear them down. Their top 4D play a lot of minutes, so we wanted to get on those guys. And, I thought we did a really good job getting pucks to the net, getting a lot of opportunities, limiting their chances.
I think it, too, was kind of fitting on a day when the GM and the players said, well, you know, we didn't have to make a move. We did our work in the summer. We changed our team in the summer, July 1st, free agency. And one of those moves was acquiring the hero last night, Tyler Bozak. But the biggest move is the call-up from the AHL. Jordan Binnington saw 19 shots, and some of them were quite good shots. And he saved them all. I think it was Jim Thomas who asked, are you nervous? And then he responded, do I look nervous? He just changes the franchise.
That was kind of Lance Lynn-esque, wasn't it, post-game?
It was, yeah. He's a lot like Lance Lynn in a lot of ways, with these short answers that sometimes reveal a lot about the guy, and he doesn't have to expound on it. But, you know, I mentioned this a long time ago. There is a comparison, and Lord, I'm going to say this, you know, Lord knows I'm not trying to compare him to Kurt Warner. I'm not saying he's going to the Hall of Fame, not saying he's an MVP, not saying he's going to go to Pro Bowls or All-Star games, okay? I am saying it's similar in that you brought in somebody that nobody had ever heard of, that was passed over, that played in minor leagues, and then has just, you know, jump-started the franchise. 7-0 at home, the fourth goalie to do that ever. That was a great Darren Pang stat last night. The team has never won 12 games in February. They have now. Let's hear from the head coach.
Pretty good start to finish. Solid. The hard game. You know, guys competed hard. That's, you know, you play Nashville, you got to compete. They're, you know, competitive hockey team. So I thought right from the drop of the puck, we looked dialed in right away, which is a good thing.
How about that, too, that on January 1st, the Predators were 16 points, and now it's 5. And the Blues still have three games in hand? I think it is.
Yeah,
3 games in hand. You win all those, and you're up by 1. All right, lap 2. The Cardinals, I kind of love their day. We begin with the 4-year extension for the irrepressible Miles Michaelis. And, you know, yesterday, Brian and I were discussing at about 10:30 about Miles' future in St. Louis.
That's going to be something interesting to watch. By the end of this spring training, do they lock him up?
Yes.
Because I don't think he wants to go into the season talking about a contract. So I would not be surprised if that happened.
Yeah, and then a few hours later it did happen. Starting staff has more questions than the Riddler sport code. Carlos, who knows if and when. Waino, 37, although he did pitch well. Waka, so often injured. Even Jack Flaherty hasn't done it for a full season. But Miles has. 200 innings, 18 wins, 32 starts. What a difference a year makes in a man's life. Guy had 4 career wins in the big leagues heading into last season. Who is this Miles Michaelis? Oh, yeah, he's the guy getting rocked down in Jupiter in his first 2 starts. Why'd they give him a 2-year contract? Guy hasn't done anything. Who cares if he won a few games in Japan? Then he performs, and now he gets about $70 million, $68 to $70 million. It's like winning the lottery. One big year and nearly $70 million. Man, it's good to be a ball player. And don't begrudge him. He's a hard worker. He's humble. He's friendly. He has a picture next to Burt Reynolds in the sandwich shop called The Connection in beautiful Jupiter, Florida. Lap 3. I kind of like this Matt Wieters signing, too. 32 years old, and he's coming off a disappointing year, but I don't know if you can get many people to be the backup for Yadier Molina with 4 All-Star games on their resume, 320 home run seasons on their resume, and 2 gold gloves on their resume. He's the best backup, maybe in Yadi's career, depending on how you view A.J. Pruszynski when he actually got here. And he did okay here. Pruszynski has better career numbers. But this is a good player. This is a good signing. So here's the thing. Is you want to have the best 25-man roster. And does anybody believe that Francisco Peña is a better player than Matt Wieters? I mean, boy, you look at some of the barometers and judging players, and you rank them in all of baseball last year, Francisco doesn't rank up there very high. I wonder if Yadi's getting real close, like they say, or I wonder if they felt there was some concern and we can't go into a season where Peña's going to get a lot of at-bats. Or is it just this case? And I think it's this case. That Wieters really needed a job. And he had to sign somewhere. And even though this isn't the best place to be a catcher with Yadier Molina, it's still the Cardinals. And they're going to pay him and he's got a job. You know, you want to have a job at age 32 if you're a baseball player. This is a pretty good player. And I think it's a real nice option once or twice a week. And here's the other thing, too. I know you don't like to have your catcher pinch hit, you know, because if you know, the starting catcher were to get hurt, what would happen? But at least with a guy like Wieters with 320 home run seasons, if it's late in the game, he's more of a threat than what you had last year and for most of Yadier Molina's career. Lap 4. I wasn't listening. I was watching the game. That was my first mistake, because it's always better to listen to Bob and Earl than any other television broadcast. But I got to think that last night at VCU, Bob Ramsey had to utter this phrase.
Drives over his man, finger roll. They're going to call an offensive foul. Oh, my God. Yeah. They're calling an offensive foul. That is the worst call I have ever seen. It is the worst call I have ever seen.
He was clearly moving.
Late in the game against VCU, a game where the Billikens showed great heart against the top team in the A-10, DJ Foreman had already fouled out. They gave the ball to Hassan French. He catches, turns, and shoots. Whistle. Looks like the Billikens will get the three-point play. No. Offensive foul on French. He fouls out. They both just collided. It's not like the defender was set. The defender wasn't set at all. It was the worst call I've ever seen. And it turned around the game in the dying moments. Now, the Billikens didn't die. Javon Bess hit a three, 67-63, with 36 seconds to play. And then the Billikens are pressing, and it looks like they get the steal, but they call the foul on Demetrius Jacobs. They call the foul. There were technicals late in the game. I got to tell you, when the game was stopped with 2 seconds to go, and VCU was at the free throw line, and the Billikens were down four, I would have gone berserk if I were Travis. Because at that point, you can't hurt your team with a technical, okay? The game's over. You're down four. They're shooting free throws. I would have gone out of the floor and went berserk. That game was over. You should have just gone crazy. Horrible officiating. The only thing that could have been worse in terms of officiating, it happened at a high school game last night. Now, I'm not going to mention where it happened. But if you text in right now, Winning Streak text line, 855-282-8255, and you were at a particular high school game, I will say on the air, yeah, that's the game. 855-282-8255, if you were at the game where the officiating was abysmal. Now, we don't have Travis after the game in terms of sound, but he had a quote that Stu Durando tweeted out. He said, quote, "It's hard to come out here and beat everybody. I can't wait to watch this film." That was terrible. SLU played pretty well, 71-65. Tough to win a 5-on-7 game. All right, lap five. The Mizzou Tigers. They got walloped by Mississippi State, 68-49, lowest out point of the season. You got to score 50, don't you? I mean, the Roxana High School girls, I looked it up, scored 50 on Tuesday night. Mizzou scored 49. They didn't start Jeremiah because he gave the finger at Florida, and that was a nice move by the coach. He doesn't start, and he still fouls out in 22 minutes of play. How do you not start a game and then foul out? How do you foul out in 22 minutes? And the thing about it is, he played okay. He's a good player. He really is. Scored 11 points. Here's Konzo after the game.
We just couldn't get it to go. To give those guys credit, couldn't get Jeremiah going around the basket. I thought he had opportunities, especially in the first half. Thought he missed some easy ones that he normally makes. Russ Geis needs to score the ball. I thought he did a sensational job guarding Lamar. But we need him to also score for us.
Yeah. I want to read this quote. In fact, Brian, do you have the tweet from Dave Matter? Let's see. Let me see if I can find this thing. Because Konzo, in the actual radio post-game show, got about as candid as he possibly could.
On KTRS or other Mizzou-affiliated stations, he said, "Those were all good calls tonight. At some point, Jeremiah has to recognize and really take ownership and figure out the best way. We continue to watch film, but after a while, it's like, what's the point? You have to make that next step."
Yeah. Oof. And one of the fouls, he just threw a blatant elbow. It was just not a smart play, and he's not a dumb kid. He's a good kid. Mizzou is 12-15. They're 3-12 in the SEC. That junior and senior class for the Tigers in general, let's put it this way, it's not exactly sterling. Help is on the way. They better get a grad transfer too, because you know you're finishing at the almost at the bottom of the SEC, maybe third to last. They better bring in some grad transfers. This Drew Smith better be really good too from Evansville. All right, lap six. Stream of consciousness. My policy is that if you spend more than 30 minutes watching the NFL Combine, guys in shorts running cone drills and shorts and a t-shirt or running the 40-yard dash, if you spend more than 30 minutes watching the NFL Combine, or maybe even 20 minutes, you need a hobby, you need a girlfriend, you need a life. You need something else, okay? But this weekend, I may be joining that group. I doubt it, though. Won't be more than 20 minutes. But if the TV is on, and I'm not watching like the Blues, Billikens, or Tigers, and I see that 6'4", 225-pound strapping Drew Locke throwing spirals at the combine, I will watch. Drew's going to throw, I think, on Saturday. Now, let me say this. Not a lead pipe cinch he goes in the first round. Charlie Casserly didn't have him in. He's a smart guy. Mel Kiper has him at 15 to the Washington Redskins. One of the most knowledgeable guys out there is Bucky Brooks, and he had this to say about Drew Locke.
Hey, look, this guy's the biggest wild card of the mix. This is a guy that is talented as Matt Stafford, big-time arm talent, hasn't played the position a long time. I mean, he was a big-time basketball player in high school. You get him and give him time to develop, I think you get a star.
You say a star?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
How about that? So I think, you know, there's going to be four. They're going to go in the first round. You know what also is going to be interesting, Brian, if you can say anything about the combine is interesting, is Kyler Murray is going to be measured. And I know this guy is an unbelievable player. He's got great arm strength. He's an unbelievable athlete and everything. But I got to tell you something. Brian, if he measures in at like 5'8 and 3/4, if he goes under 5'9, I mean, okay, Drew Brees, he is 6 feet. And Russell Wilson is probably 6 feet, and so is...
Wilson's 5'11.
5'11, okay.
According to Google.
There's a big difference between 5'8 and 3/4 and 5'11. There really is.
Yes, there is.
And, you know, Baker Mayfield is a legitimate 6 feet. Is that what they, I wonder what he measured at the combine.
Baker Mayfield, they say 6'1 on Google. I find that hard to believe.
But he's at least 6.
Yes.
I think a lot of people are going to be interested. Can you imagine that?
6 5/8 at the combine is what he was.
6 5/8?
Yeah.
What'd they measure Russell at the combine? Did he measure in at 6 or is he under 6?
Wilson was measured at 5'10 and 5/8 at the combine.
Wow. That's worked out pretty well for him. But what if he checks in at 5'8 and 3/4? Wow. I'd take him. He's a heck of a player. Okay, so here's the question on that Thursday of the first round of the NFL draft, Brian. Lucas, you can guess on this, too. So the draft, that first round, is on a Thursday.
Okay.
Which of the two slot members actually comes in with the cash, the $100, that Friday, if Drew Locke goes in the first round? Who will show more integrity and come in with that crisp Ben Franklin? For the people,
well, you're never
know,
seeing the money if you win.
You don't think either will pay?
No, you won't. If you win and Strick owes you, you won't see the money. I think you'll pay Strick if he wins.
Oh, yeah. But I'm saying of the two, Charlie Tuna or Andy Strickland, on that Friday, which is more likely to come in with
Tuna,
a crisp?
I think Tuna has a little bit more integrity than Strick.
So you think Tuna's going to come
in? I think Tuna will pay.
Okay. I could go Tuna, too.
Wow.
Strick will always say, I'll get you next week, yeah. I feel like.
Yeah. Or he'll say, well, don't show me from that post-game show. I mean, technically Channel 5 has to pay that off, but in fact, when I called him to do the post game show the other day, I said, you know, Andy, in a way, when you lose that 100 on draft day, you're getting it back because we're giving you 100 to be on the show.
I know.
How about that? Hey, speaking of the NFL, I like the Greg Robinson story. A bust for most of his career, signed by Cleveland, rejuvenates his career in Cleveland. The Browns allowed a league low 5 sacks in the second half of last season, and Robinson played a big role in that. They liked Robinson so much, they signed him as a free agent. You know, you felt so bad for the guy because he's a really nice kid, really nice young man. And he had all that failure and, you know, second pick in the draft here in St. Louis and let go. But, wow, that is great to hear. Food picks will be at Fletcher's in Belleville today. Supposed to be a special steakhouse. Those are my thoughts. Let's hear yours. SLU getting cheated. Mizzou getting hammered. The Cardinals getting generous. Come on aboard when we come back. We'll be joined by John Mosella.